Okay, so welcome to this final session, the satsang. I can see we have a couple of hands up waiting already, but just in case anyone doesn't remember how to do that, if you click on participants and scroll to the bottom of that section and then click on raise hand, there'll be an option to raise hand and it'll show me that you're waiting. So we will get started with Caroline.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. It was just really just to say what's been happening and then a question. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say, Helen, the teachings today have been so fantastic.
I'm good.
I think the first one, when you first started off, it just sort of everything went very quiet. I felt like I was asleep with my eyes open, which I'm like that quite a bit nowadays.
Good.
And your last teaching was a bit like a bomb going off again.
Oh, good. I like to throw a grenade or two in there.
So my heart was going like mad. It's still going quite fast. So the question I had really was something happened this week that I don't really know if it's relevant after today. I don't know if any question I ever have again is going to be relevant. That is how I feel, like there's no questions really. But I wanted to ask this question. So I've been debating whether to or not, but I'll ask it. So something happened earlier on this week where I've been very peaceful, empty head, very quiet inside, just very sort of peaceful. And then I can't even remember what happened, but one of the days something came up and I was looking at it, and as I was looking, something came in and made me quiet. And I was a bit like, oh, I can't really describe it, except it felt like something took control, which I think was me, but it took me away from what I was doing, which was looking at the thought. I think there was some believing of what I was thinking. It keeps getting me, you know, it's gonna.
So what?
It keeps getting me, you know.
No, I mean, so what?
What?
So what if it gets you?
Oh yeah, so what? But this, yeah, so what if it gets me after today, so what?
The openness to look at it, to question it, that in that openness, you're right back to your real self, aren't you? And that's why the inquiry into what is this is then allowing you to, something just came in, which is reality. Reality just happens. In which I'm no longer in division with this thing, and it disappears.
Yeah.
Just like that.
I've never had that before. Yeah, I was just looking at it, and then it just came in, and it just went.
Mm-hmm. And it can be that simple. It can really be that simple. You know, I'm either caught up in something or I'm not. And if I just bring awareness back to it, what is this about? Even just that looking, because not wanting to look that causes us to suffer. The moment we look, there's an openness there. We are literally being the awareness, which cannot be unaware in that moment then, and it disappears.
Yeah, it's never quite happened like that before, really. It was a bit like I don't know. And then after that, there's been a lot of, I think I've just hit a wall and I'm just accepting everything now. I think there's been quite a lot of stubbornness of, well, I don't like this, you know, like a child, like I have been, like a tantruming kid, but I don't want
it. I remember that too, I remember.
I don't like it, I don't like, oh yeah, I've had some right goings on. I don't like this, I don't care what anybody says, I don't like it. Don't like it, I'm not going to accept it. But something's just happened now, and I think I've just realised, something's just dawning big time.
There's a natural tendency to cling on to a big seeing, and then to cling on to the next big seeing, and then the next big seeing, and in that we've got to be rejecting the opposite side of that coin. We can't be any other way in that moment. But the more of these big apocalyptic seeings you have, the more you realize they're just endless. They'll go on forever. So there's no reason to, we can just relax. The epiphany is going to happen effortlessly. And in that relaxation, there isn't any trying to cling on to it. And therefore, we don't have to experience the other side of it so much.
Well, the day after that, then, I had a friend come, and I just had this massive energy surge while she was here, which was, she's just new to the sort of journey, and she started to listen to you. But it just came out of nowhere, and I was a bit embarrassed. I was just laid down, and I was, like, just quivering, and it went on for about 2 hours. And since then, it's been joyful and bliss and peace, and then an empty head. And then today I don't even know if I had to ask them questions, really. I just feel like today has been so direct.
It doesn't have to be either, does it? It could be that you don't really need to ask any questions and also you do.
Yeah.
And it's fine. And you don't take a stand either side.
No.
Just nowhere to rest your head and, just...
Yeah,
I don't know anything about myself. I don't know anything. I don't even know whether I'm suffering or not or anything,
Yeah, the teachings have been so direct today. It just feels like it just does something. They're so direct, Helen.
See why we can't be what we already are right now if we already are it. I don't really get why, Although I did a very convincing experience of that not being possible for a long time. Knowing what I know now, why should it take so long?
Yeah.
So I'm glad it's burst through something. Just don't form any conclusions. No, the next big seeing, it doesn't mean, of course we're going to feel like we're there. Of course something's going to grab a hold of it. But then you just know that's not true. And then you don't push against the other side of the coin as well, some suffering comes up, it'll just be felt, and there'll be a greater ability each time to just embrace it and love it and just let it be and transmute it and whatever needs to happen with it.
Yeah, deeper understanding all the time. It's just wonderful.
Never ending. It's just going to get better for the rest of forever. It's not too bad, really, not too shabby for a little work.
Really. I just want to thank you for your teachings today.
Thank you for being up.
It's worthwhile for me. They really just hit me where I need it. Thank
Fantastic. You. Thank you. Lovely. Eileen?
Hi, Helen.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great to be here. I'm well, thank you.
I feel like I haven't seen you in ages.
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
Anyway, time's all weird anyway.
I know, exactly. You'll see me now. I'm in Dissolving Ego and the one in September, so I'll be here for a while.
Wow.
So I guess the question that coming up for me as you were talking about self-inquiry is, then why do self-inquiry anymore? My head kept saying, well, why ask? And then I would hear, well, why not ask? And then you were saying, not wanting to look is causes suffering, but not wanting to look. But is it if you just want to look, or because my head said, well, then let's just stop self-inquiry and just ride this whatever it is without having to look. Who cares who's trying to look? Because I guess my point in saying all this is that previously, self-inquiry had a goal of getting me. So, I would self-inquire to get somewhere. And now, in the realization that I'm already there, who cares? Why should I even ask any questions anymore?
It's a good question. It's a little bit of both. We need to ask until we lose the ability to contract around any particular answer. Even the formlessness, we don't go, that's the answer, right? Okay. And so we don't contract around any particular answer. And by contraction, I mean, we don't go, that's it. That's, what I'm identifying with in this moment is the answer I'm holding on to. So there can be an asking until we There'd have to be a little effort to ask, to remember to ask, if we're grabbing hold of any particular answer. And especially when we're grabbing hold of the formlessness itself and saying, that's the answer. All the forms are just nonsense and they don't exist, you know, and because we'll still be in division and it'll hurt even more. At some point, you'll just see there's this formlessness that's always here and all the ways it's appearing. And that's never going to change. It'll look like different shapes forever. So when that's clear and when you're no longer able to contract around anything, I think I probably said before that there was this moment where something happened in my experience and there was all this negative emotion. And I just couldn't do anything with it at all. You know, there was just no ability to make anything out of it. It was just what is in that moment. And it was surprising, very surprising. And I tested it out on other things, like what if this happened, or what if I felt that, or what if I never felt peace again, what would it? And there was just nothing left inside that could do this, you know. So then that's when you can stop the question, but then you don't want to stop the question because it's so beautiful and it's something you're being then rather than you're doing. You know, it's morphed at some point into just a way of living, right, which you're probably discovering when you're open. Everything feels good and works out all right. When you're closed, not so much, you know?
Yes. That's a great, thank you. That clarifies it. And I just, the only other thing I wanted to say is something in me does resist the simplicity. I just have to say it. Just like something in me resists, really? I've been doing all this and can it really be this?
I remember being extremely embarrassed at the drama I'd made out of my awakening, you know, this epic movie of failure and success and everything. And then I realized that there's something in me that's never going to accept it's this simple ever, you know. And it isn't that simple until it is.
Right.
You know, we get simplicity through complexity and we realize that's not the way to do it. That way isn't working. You know, we go through trying everything, trying to become something, trying to not be something. And then eventually we're just authentically as we are in this moment. And there's a simplicity in that. But it's not wanted, that simplicity, until it is. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Because you don't want to be that simple as human beings until we do. And then when we do, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's almost like I don't want to give up the drama until I'm done with it, you know, in my life or whatever, something like that.
Yes. Yeah. And that may never go away, but it doesn't have to stop you also embracing the simplicity. It's where you pitch your tent. Where am I planting my flag as who I am? Is it the one that likes drama or the one that's already quite simple and quiet and is just watching this drama queen that is my mind that's just continuously creating problems for an imaginary someone to solve, you know?
Definitely, because even if it's not, since I'm everything, even if I'm feeling whatever or seeing whatever, I still am seeing something over here and over here, the manifest of every emotion and everything in it.
Yeah, even if you somehow manage to get this body and mind really sattvic and pure and only like thoughts about the self, in the next body that's not happening. Okay. So you could just sort of kind of give up that finish line, can't you? That, you know, I'll know when I'm there. Well, that'll only be referencing one mind and body, you know. And yes, that will happen. There'll be a point where you can no longer contract, like I said. But it's just what is in this body. It's not like from there, it's not any better or worse than how you were before. It just feels nicer, much more pleasant experience.
Yeah, that seems to be the big difference. No better or no worse. It's not right, wrong, good, bad. That's whole sort of evaluation.
Doesn't mean anything. Yeah. And I did it for a while. Oh, wow, I'm there now. I can't contract around anything. You know, and of course life slapped me a bit and said, hey, that's not it either, you know. And okay, got that one, thanks. You know, it's just what is in this body, isn't it? It doesn't mean I've reached some stage or not. And everything just loses its meaning really to you, doesn't it? Your center here is all my meanings about everything, my awakening, my life, and all of that.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Good question. Okay, Mike? Mike, sorry.
One second. There you go. Can you hear me?
Yep, can.
Sorry about that. So you brought up a little bit about meaning, and I guess the question that keeps coming up here, and I'll try to make this quick because there's other people wanting to ask questions, is there's a fear here that sort of like if everything is truly meaningless, the fear the ego has is it's like going out on the ocean as a great explorer, but now you've lost any sense of where you're going and destination. And the fear is like, well, what does that mean for where this body is going to go? Kind of thing. Like, doesn't an ego need a sense of meaning and purpose? And if that's truly just not there, it doesn't really exist, what's going to happen? And the fear is, you know, what's going to stop the ship from running into the ground?
Yeah, well, actually, it's back to identity, isn't it, really, that I'm actually the ship and the ocean and all possible destinations, or I'm someone on the ship trying to get to a certain place, or I'm both of those and not really either of them in particular. You know, it's try it and see thing, you know, and I know you are doing, but, you know, for me, it was like, well, if I just let go of all purpose and meaning of everything, then when am I going to get out of bed tomorrow morning? And it seems paradoxical because it seems like when we have let go of all meaning, life seems to take on a real meaning. And I seem to have a real purpose like this intensive for me, you know, but there isn't any purpose behind this intensive and there is no meaning. It doesn't mean anything to me whether 15 people wake up or have an epiphanies or nobody does. It's just for the joy of doing it. And from that place, more people tend to have these epiphanies. And there's a simplicity in the teaching that allows, you know, facilitates this. But I tried that bit by bit. Okay, what happens when this particular situation doesn't have any meaning for me anymore? And then this one. And then what if there's no purpose to me doing this thing? Or, you know, this meditation or this inquiry? What is the no outcome that's needed from it? You know, bit by bit. Every time I dropped any sense of any purpose or meaning, it just got, life got more beautiful and things magically corrected themselves. So I just try, okay, I'll do it. You know, if there is fear of just switching over, if you can inquire and say, well, you know, that's, is that me that's affected by this? Then that's the good thing to do. But otherwise, just pick a small section of your life and go, okay, there's no reason for me doing this. Like work, you know, that was a big one for me. I'm working to earn money to pay the bills so I can, you know, fill in the blank. Okay, what if there's no reason for me working and no purpose behind it? It is a very different way to go about that particular part of my life. And then you just bring it into all areas bit by bit, or if you're ready, all at once, whichever.
Could you also say that when you look back on it, it didn't matter how much the ego was trying to get meaning in this, that, or the other, that life was just going to do and lead that body to where it was going to go anyway? The ego was just sort of,
yeah, it just became sort of more
getting
and more
in the
obvious
way with this, yeah,
the ship was already heading to this destination that was just the most amazing thing ever, and we kept stopping off along the way, and each one that we stopped off at was even better, and that was happening anyway. There was a kind of autopilot on the ship, and you know, there was somebody standing trying to make the wheel turn, and it just didn't make any difference. And it just became clearer and clearer that there isn't any, there's nothing that can happen in my phenomenal existence that's going to make me feel any more the self than I am right now. You know, there's nothing that can happen in the future that's going to make me more me than I already am. I'm always going to be the formless self appearing as a human being. You know, that's it's never going to be different than that, is it? And right. It was just kind of more and more concrete that's this looking for meaning from everything. It was just slowing down that unfoldment that was happening. It was happening anyway, but I was doing my best to resist it, you know, from the ego, not realizing, of course, but I was sure that my direction was better than life's direction. It just became so clear that's not true. This way to a train wreck, this way to a beautiful experience. You know, it was a bit of a no-brainer in the end.
Okay, makes sense. Thank you.
Good stuff. Lovely. Steve?
Hello, because I want to say Mick.
Hi. Mike. How are you doing?
I'm not so bad. I didn't want to come to this meeting today, but up to... I'm writing, assuming you heard me on the phone, yeah?
Just a little bit. Luckily, there weren't any naughty words or anything, so...
No. Up to that point, I was really enjoying it, you know, the talk, the meditation, so... Had a bit of lunch. I realised I can't see the clock here, so I thought, put my phone here so I can see the clock. And I've been hundreds of satsang. It's never been, you just don't have your phone with you, just an app. You have to tell me about it. I know you don't do phone. And as I'm, it was facing me, so and I just can't, this newcomer from AA might be struggling. His number came up. I thought I'd better ignore. Anyway, it went off, so fair enough then. You know what I mean? And then it came up again. And I just panicked. And I answered it, turned phone off, or turned camera off, and was put the phone on so you could. And then as I looked around, I saw, host has muted you. And I thought, oh, not again, don't it? I thought I've gone back for a month here. I thought I'll just get it together. But I thought, no, I'm going to have to say something. Because you've just been talking about nothing means anything.
Mm-hmm. So what does this all mean to you then?
No, so it's as you said, isn't it? I'm trying to work out. I've heard nothing since then, since it happened. And just been going again, you know what I mean? There's something I'm still believing that's causing that to happen.
So this is, you said it yourself, actually. I'm back 4 months ago. That's the meaning.
It's exactly the same.
I've gone back. That's the meaning. I've gone back. I've slid back. Why is this happening again?
That's right. Yeah.
In my wonderful financial train wreck of a life that was, from the egoic sense of self, whenever I ran out of money, it was evidence that I'm not there yet. And the bigger the disaster, the bigger the certainty inside that I'm not there yet, that I'm really not there yet. I've really gone backwards. Why is this still happening? It should not be happening. I bet this wouldn't happen to the Buddha, you know?
No.
I bet Krishna never ran out of cash, you know?
Hell, never.
You can see where I'm going with this. And then hopefully there was one time when I was really thinking about nothing means anything. And I got this text from the bank, you know, those texts that you get when it says you have insufficient funds in your account. And there's this wave of panic. You need to pay some money in before we can pay this bill. And I just had to really sit there in that moment, God, this doesn't mean anything. This doesn't mean anything to my awakening. It means something to my account, yes. And obviously I took some action about it. But inside, I wouldn't let myself define this means something's still wrong. Something's still wrong with me. Something needs fixing. You know, I didn't get my spanner out and my hammer and, you know, start working on myself. And it was just amazingly freeing to have it not mean anything. Maybe the Buddha did run out of cash once or twice, you know, maybe, you know, metaphorically. It's just, I didn't let myself derive any meaning from my awakening from it. And you can do the exact same thing right now with this, can't you?
I'll look at it, yeah. I'll just listen to what you're saying first, but yeah.
It doesn't mean anything to me, so hopefully it won't mean anything to you.
I'm just... That letter from bank, like a letter from you. You know, I'm trying to work that one. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. Where you're still suffering.
I worked through that.
Where you're still suffering is where You're using it to define your progress. When something happens in here or out there, it's allowed to define my status of awakening, you know. And it's really not possible for you to slide backwards, because unless you believe that you have slid backwards, then you'll have a convincing experience of it. But it's still not actually so. You are always now, right? You're always the now, yeah. And everything that's appearing in it. I just have a look. I just suggest having a look at that. And
I definitely will. Yeah.
Don't be so sure it means anything. And the amount of negative emotion that arises with something like this is indicative of how much we're really believing in the meaning that mind suggests about it. Good stuff.
Maybe it's happened at the right time then. It's just
perfect. Happened for a reason, didn't it?
A question. There's no reason, you said.
Maybe the reason, there is a reason, and that's for your own deepening right now, today.
Okay.
Maybe it's happened so you can let go of the meaning around it.
Let's have a look, yeah.
Wonderful.
It's spot on. That'll do.
Perfect. Good. Sergio?
Oh, hi, Helen.
Hiya, how are you doing?
Very good to see you. Sharing. For the past two nights, you have been in my dreams. I just can't recall how or what about them. I don't know why I can recall, but... Well, that's the sharing, and
hopefully it's a good dream. It's not waking up in a cold sweat.
No, I'm sure. I just don't know why I can't recall anything about it.
Sometimes there's just a kind of energy shift going on in these dreams, and we don't particularly need to remember them. It's just something was let go of, or something just happened, you know.
I don't know how to place the question. How do we dissolve the sense of I with the exercise we just did with self-inquiry?
How to dissolve the sense of I?
Yes.
I wouldn't try to dissolve it. I would try to upgrade it, expand it.
Okay.
Can you get a sense of it? Can you? What if your sense of what you mean when you say I is constantly what if your I still means this mind and body, but also something else as well? You know, what if you're ever adding to that what you mean when you say I? Like what I mean when I say I, it's probably vastly different to the majority of people in this town where I am.
Okay.
But I didn't get to that by getting rid of any of it. Actually, the only thing I let go of was this thought that this is all I am. It's very different than killing something, isn't it? Or, because you are that body and mind too.
Okay.
You're also starting to see you're so much more as well. Before our self-definition is, this is all I am. You know, when this is gone, I'm gone, you know. But the self-definition, what I mean when I say I, or what I mean inside my heart, is there's always going to be a sense of I, but you're what you intuitively know that I to be, what your identity is going to be ever unfolding. And there can be an absolute knowing that the I is the formless reality of all that is. And I is always being upgraded. Oh, I am this person too. I am this experience too. I am this emotion too. I am this angry person. I am this whatever, you know.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yes, I think so.
But just it's much easier to upgrade, you know, like you would your phone. Just upgrade your sense of I, you know.
Cool. Thank you.
Lovely. Good. Claire, We'll take questions up to Gaynor and then we'll stop because time will quickly quickly move ahead. So, sorry, Claire.
Hi, Helen. I'm struggling a little bit with physically. I'm not as fit, and I keep shoulding and shouldn't in, and I can't do as much as that person or this person, and I find it very hard. And this last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of physical pain and discomfort, and it seems to come and go in waves, but there's a lot of emotion tied to it, and I'm not doing very well at, I don't seem to ask the questions around it. I just seem to allow it to let me suffer. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah. So are you asking sort of how to work, how to be with the pain? Is that kind of what you're asking?
Well, yeah. It's how to kind of work on the love and acceptance of that and not should and shouldn't. Because this body that I've got is working. I'm breathing, I'm moving around, you know, and it's just that it's just not the same as somebody else's. But I'm not.
There are some limitations that come with that particular body that may not be present in other bodies.
And it does release a lot of emotional energy as well. Right.
So what are the meanings that you have about the pain, about what does it mean? Let's play worst case scenario. Let's say it doesn't get any better than this. Okay, what would that mean? And you don't have to tell us all on this offensive, but just the exercise, and you can follow up, you know, if there is something you want to discuss as well, that's great. But let's say my situation, your situation, never gets any better than this as it is, and there's always a sense of limitation as long as this body's present. What would that mean? Would it mean, and I'm just going to throw out some stuff here, and I'm not trying to compare it at all, but when I did my shoulder in really badly, couldn't drive, couldn't carry anything, couldn't really do anything for a while, and I really had to look at what it meant if it never got any better, you know, and undoing those. Can you get a sense of those feelings?
Yeah, but I would just have to accept, wouldn't I, and adapt, and yeah, just, you know, I accept like you do anything else, but you know,
and
try and love it.
You can't accept it. Does that mean that you're failing at awakening? It's quite possible, and I'm just playing the other side of the thing here. It's quite possible you may never accept this. And who said you're supposed to? Some part of you may always be in opposition to being in pain and being limited, feeling limited. Can you accept that?
I think I see it as a failing, I suppose, if I don't accept it.
Here's the meaning. Here's the crucial meaning. So some part of you, the reason that you're suffering right now is because this idea that it's one or the other. Some part of you is always going to be in opposition with this limitation. Some part of you is already at peace with it.
Yeah.
Right. Do you have to pick a side? And what happens when you don't? What if you don't even have to accept it or not? Can you just feel around that for a moment? What happens if it's not even my job to come to peace with this or not? What if both of those are happening in my experience and are actually extensions of the physical pain? What if there is physical pain, there's emotion about the physical pain, and there's an acceptance and a rejection also, and they're all one thing, and I'm looking at them all. If you feel you have to stop rejecting, then you suddenly become the doer.
Yeah.
And that's going to cause you to feel bad anyway, which will increase the pain probably because it stops the energy flowing through the system.
Yeah.
What if there isn't anything you need to do with this at all? What if it's the idea that you have to do something about this and therefore the possibility of failure to be able to do it that's really causing the internal conflict?
So let it be and
well, see what. Is that even your job? Isn't there already, I know it seems like I'm nitpicking, but it's really important. Isn't there already some part of you that's really saying no, 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 no? And isn't there already an awareness of that? That just is, okay, this is what is. Can the awareness reject anything? No. Can the ego reject anything? Yes, and it does.
Mm.
Which one of those are you? Do you have to, are you going to sit on either side of that fence? If you do, you'll suffer. You're going to show up as rejection of this and acceptance of this. What's causing the pain, not the physical pain, the emotional pain, a sense of conflict, is that you have to pick one of those. One of the most beautiful things I ever heard, ever, was Ram Dass when he spoke about his stroke. He had a, you know, so I don't know if you know yeah. about him. And he said, I can't remember exactly how he phrased it, so forgive me if I screw it up, but he said, life was my teacher for a while, and then for a while longer, my body was my teacher. You know, and I just thought, wow, that is, you know, it's showing me something completely. There's some part of me that doesn't want this at all, and there's some part of me that's okay with it. And I only suffer if I try to decide which one of those is me. The absolute place, that third place we were talking about earlier, is not picking either of these. It's watching them both, as well as the pain. Do I even have to do anything with this at all? What a good question that is. Just try that inside now. Do I even have to fix this or resolve this? How does that make you feel when you take that inside?
It makes me feel better because I'm not jumping one way or the other.
And that's just from a few seconds of not feeling you need to do anything with this, which is the third. You're always a human being as well, appearing as a human, and a human being is going to move away from pain and towards pleasure. That's just our makeup, isn't it? That's where we're all seeking enlightenment, because we've heard it's the ultimate pleasure, you know. But so there's this big part of you that's just going, no, I'm never going to be able to accept this. But you can just look at that and go, that's just another way I'm appearing in this moment. That's another answer to this question, what am I in this moment, isn't it, for you?
Yeah.
Also something, the awareness, the silence, whatever you want to call it, that doesn't have a problem with any of it. It's just this one idea that bit that's saying no should disappear. And it's like trying to pull your own arm off, because this is another way you're appearing in this moment. This sense of no, no, I don't want this.
Yeah.
If you just don't say that shouldn't be, because then you are the doer who's got to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Then can you just allow this no inside? Can you fully embrace no? There should be a sense of opening when you just, of course you don't want to be in pain and limited, of course. And every single person would feel that way. If I had a really bad pain right now, I'd still prefer for it not to be there.
Mm.
But I don't take a position on it. It'd be a sense, I don't want this. But yeah. It's not going to define me, that no or the yes. You know, which one is it, says the ego, yes or no, and the self says yes to both.
Yeah.
ego can't understand that, but you can get the simplicity of it. How does it feel inside now? You know, how is a different relationship with the pain now?
Less resistance.
Mm-hmm. So is it really true I have to do anything about this at all? About the pain? Of course, you'll do what you need to help the body. I don't mean like that, but I don't have to, you know, it's not like because there's pain, I'm not awakened and pain should disappear if I'm awakened. I also don't have to get rid of my egoic response to this either. I also don't have to be the awareness. I just already am that, so there's nothing I need to do. I am the awareness. I am the egoic rejection of the pain, and I am also the pain. It feels very different, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. And then you won't be divided no matter what happens in your experience. You won't be divided by it. You won't allow it to create the sense of division.
Yeah.
So I'd stick with that question a little while if I were you. And can you see it's not the pain or the limitation that you're actually suffering from? It's where your identity is when it happens.
When I'm trying to make a choice.
Yeah, the choice, the seeming choice is coming from that second position. And I'm just saying move back to the third position when this kind of thing happens. I'll just stay there altogether. Is it really true I have to do anything about anything? quick way out of everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, especially with this, can you accept the human part of you that really doesn't want to feel like this? Yeah, you can. You know, and at the same time, there might be a strong desire to feel better, but that can also be accepted and honored.
Yeah.
Good, good. Lovely. Thank you for sharing that. Very brave. Leonie?
Thank you, Helen. Just a quick one about desire. Unexpectedly, I'm back at court on Tuesday. But I was wondering if I should have a desire for the conclusion maybe that might happen to be one way or the other, because I don't have one. I don't want to get a sentence, but at the same time, I'm really at peace with either. Because there's a sense of that I don't know if this is right or wrong either, but there's a sense of there's no person for it to affect, so I'm okay with that. But should I have a desire for to not get a sentence or something like that?
I can tell you if you should have a desire, and that's if one arises.
Okay.
Simple rule of thumb, right? And moving closer to the event, you might have a desire, a preference arising, or maybe even a very strong one right in that moment. I'd like it to go this way. And also, as we were just saying with Claire, there'll be something that's fine either way. And again, we're only going to suffer if we try to pick which one of those I am. Am I a human being or I am the nobodiness, you know?
Okay, yeah.
Should I have a desire or not? If it's there, then yes. If it's not there, then no.
Okay.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah. Thank you.
Very welcome. Rhoda?
Hi, Helen.
Hiya, how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. First of all, I wanna thank you for the inquiry today. First time ever, instead of getting giant and expansive, there was an appearance of being ever so tiny, like the dew on a flower, and it just popped. And there's this bizarre grasping that is happening that wants to make meaning out of this. And I'm fairly clear that there is, you know, it means nothing. It's no different than any other time I've ever done inquiry. It just was a different answer. That's all. It was just a different answer.
That's so great that you could hold it like that. There'll be something also inside that's saying, yeah, something really happened there. And it's fine, isn't it? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It feels very much like the answer you just gave about it's almost that third position that they all exist together. What I am noticing, though, is that there's this belief that I just can't seem to undo, that when I awaken, I will finally know what my purpose is. Mm-hmm. I think I've heard you talk about this 3 times already today, and I still can't seem to find my way to a questioning sequence to help me undo this.
Okay. That's something we can work with, isn't it? There's a sense of wanting to find a purpose, your purpose, mm-hmm. what you're supposed to be doing in the manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
If you can see it as a flowering, okay. Firstly, the purpose is to see, isn't it? The first purpose is to see, the purpose of being a human being eventually is to come to this kind of event, to evolve, and then to finally come to this kind of event where you can see all of this. And then in that deepening, it's going to begin to, it'll already be expressing itself as something that brings joy, that really agrees with your joy. And it is not always immediately obvious, because we've been inwardly focused for so long that sometimes to look at the world, you kind of go, well, it's not that important, but it is also an expression of you, isn't it? So there must be something already happening that gives you joy. So you don't need to tell us right now, but have a look for those things in your life that when you do them, you lose all sense of time. You lose all sense of someoneness. You know, you could just do it forever. You know those things that you do where you never get hungry or tired, and then you mm-hmm. realize like 6 hours later, wow, I really need to eat, you know, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or you just don't get drained by doing it. You know, and for me, this is it. You know, obviously, we've been going 5.5 hours now. I could go another 10, you know, something. But, you know, after that, my body would be rather tired. But in the moment, there's nothing, no sense of time or anything. So right from day one of your life, there would have been something that brings you joy, and that's ever unfolding. So you can, if you sort of strip away the things that the mind add onto purpose, it's got to be something I earn money from. It's got mm-hmm. to be something that comes new. It's not already here now. It could already have sneaked in underneath, and maybe we didn't realize, you know. And if you, it is the old cliche, but follow your bliss now, what gives you joy now, it's going to ever unfold. It's going to lead you step by step to the next thing. Like this intensive started as me and 3 friends sitting in a cafe every Wednesday afternoon, just chatting about spirituality. And this is where it is now, by following that. So there must be something already that you love to do. And it could just be digging your garden. It could be petting your cat. That's my purpose right now, because it agrees with my joy. What is it that agrees with your joy? When you take all the other sort of baggage off it, that it's got to be something I can support myself with. You know, so forget all of that other stuff. Your purpose may never be the same as your job or your work. Most times it is in the end, because the universe kind of moves just to support you in your joy. But just to get clear on it at first, you know, you could even start just by noticing, what is it that I do when time disappears, or who am I with when time just seems to stop or fly by, you know, whichever one. Can you get a sense of it?
Absolutely.
Good. And then just follow that next step, you know, and again, it's the old cliche, take the next step, even if you can't see the one after. It just doesn't work that way. You know, we learned that, Maggie and Ian and I, with organizing these events, it's okay. When we find a place to hold a retreat, then we'll book one. It just doesn't work that way. You know, it's okay, let's book a retreat. And then, you know, so we just lead it step by step, and then the place shows up. And you can sort of see that hopefully in your own. Purpose is really what is the greatest expression of your joy in this moment. And there's no final destination with that. It's always going to be unfolding and evolving and more smallness in the manifestation. Very good.
Thank you.
Good. Thanks. Gaina?
Hi, Helen.
Hiya.
Hiya. So it was just really, I really like that last question actually by Rhoda, because that's something I was that's I've struggled with as well personally. And when you was talking there about meaning and how, you know, to take away the meaning from things that you're doing, and then, you know, why are you, you know, what are you left with? You know, what are the reasons for you still doing it?
Yeah.
So, and I was thinking about a couple of areas in my life where there is meaning to the things that I do. And then I think if I take that away, then it was a little bit like, it was a little bit concerning, I suppose, because I didn't feel like I was left with joy in those areas. I felt like I was left with a sense of that was the reasons why I was doing it, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Just those meanings.
It doesn't necessarily have to come to joy straight away. It can be, okay, if I just don't believe I'm doing this thing for this particular reason, even if I still have to do it right now, let me start to unpick the meanings around it. And at the same time, look at what I do like to do that gives me agrees with my joy, my peace. And gradually the gap between those two will, you know, maybe I'm not going to work to earn money, I'm just going to work. You know, maybe I'm not going to work to try and advance my career, I'm just going to work. That's where my body is today. You know, can you just kind of hold it in that, whatever it is, rather than let me strip away the meanings behind why I'm doing this thing and just leave it in its bare existence. And it might still be something the body has to do for a while or forever, but it won't be able to suffer from it then, because there's nothing you need out of it. And in that, then it'll become clearer what you do really love to. Naturally, each body and mind is something that just makes them feel amazing. And it's kind of always clouded in a little confusion, because we sort of equate awakening with teaching, because most of the people that we see are awake are teaching. But that is only the outer expression of the inner awakening, you know. So there's an outer expression for each one of us, how that wants to blossom in the world. It's probably been there for a very long time, but because we've got these ideas, it's not going to support me, or it's not going to give me X, Y, and Z, or I don't have enough time to do it, or any of the other thousand reasons we're, you know, putting on it, limitations. So can you just do something because that's what's happening? You know, does it have to give you something?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to do things because they do give me joy. But I suppose even that is still giving, wanting something out of it, isn't it? When it should be more of a, I don't know, you're saying it should be more of a natural unfolding, rather than coming from the ego of wanting that anyway, or is it normal to kind of want that?
Well, there's something you can be that gives you joy, and there's also something that you can do that gives you joy, and it doesn't have to be one or the other.
Mm.
Can you get a sense?
Yeah.
Ego kind of says, all right, I'll be myself, and then everything will be joyful, and then it won't matter what I do. And there is that side of it. I could be anywhere and I'd feel the same. There is that side of it. But then there's also a refinement in the manifestation of, you know what, I really love to do this. I really, really enjoy this, and I really like doing it, so I'm going to do more of it, you know, as a human being as well. It doesn't have to be one or the other. And that's a beautiful thing about the unfolding of awakening. You get to have your cake and eat it in that way. So if you're already joyful, you're going to find more and more opportunities to, or at least peaceful, or at least not stubbornly resisting life. You're going to find more and more opportunities to agree with how you feel, and then that'll kind of deepen.
Right.
If there's something you'd love to do, I bet even just thinking about it right now, imagining yourself doing it, already changes your state to some degree. That's like a first step. Take that first step into it, you know. And whatever excuse the mind gives you for not being able to do that thing. Yeah, I remember I really want to teach full time. I love the sense of fulfillment and contribution I get when I go to bed at night. You know, and I remember at the time I was cleaning houses for a living, and you know, 4 or 5 houses a day. I'm feeling like I'd made a difference, but you know, only to someone's bathroom, you know, which is obviously important, but not it didn't give me the same sense, you know. And it's all right to prefer, I'd prefer it to be this way. Then I had to begin to undo, well, why am I cleaning houses? To earn money so that I can support myself, so that I've got more time to teach. And but you won't have time to teach if you've got to keep cleaning houses. And all these things had to be undone and stripped away. Like, I'm cleaning houses because I'm cleaning houses. That's it.
I do feel a bit like that in my life at the minute, and that I'm, you know, working full time to earn a living, to have money to, you know, to support things in my life. But then on a weekend, trying to fit everything in that I want to do, I don't have time to do the things that I want to do. And then when I am doing them, I'm not enjoying them as much as I'd like to enjoy them, because I always feel like it's more of a job then. But yeah. Oh, you know, I've got to do it. You know, you've got to do it. So that has definitely ruled a lot.
But start from the end. Start from the place where you've got infinite time. What would you choose to do then? And can you do a little bit of it now? You know, can you even just think about doing it now? We immediately feel better. And it'll take the heaviness out of it, you know. Instead of, you're never going to get to a point as a human being where you've got enough time to do what you want and enough resources, because the nature of being, that egoic sense of self, is limitation, you know, lack and limitation and not enoughness in all of its forms. So turn it on its head and say, okay, if I had infinite funds and I didn't have to rely on anything to support me, what would I do? And that's going to be a clue to what your joy is, where it's going to come from. Cost minus a yes, but that's never going to happen. Look, you know, it's going to cost all this money, or you need this thing or that thing to do it. You just, okay, that's fine, but let me just even be clear about what it is first. How can I even draw to me the circumstance and situation that's going to make that happen if I don't even know what it is?
Right, so maybe it might be worth me to spend some time thinking about what, you know, what would I choose to do if none of these were if I had.
Yeah, and I did that. It was like, okay, what would I do if I didn't need to support myself financially at all? And it's this, actually. And whatever this is unfolding into. But there is something there already for all of us. We just don't really value it, because we don't see it as an income source or something like that. It's just a hobby, or it's just the way I am. Maybe I'm good at making people laugh. Maybe I'm great with the flute. Maybe I've got some artistic skill. You know, can you just do that because it's joyful, rather than needing anything out of it? And without any sense that, okay, this has to develop into something. What if it's just enough right now to be doing that because it's fun? And then at the same time, the other side of the coin is undoing the reasons why you have to do the things that you don't like to do, the meanings behind the things that you don't like.
Right. Okay.
You have to get kind of clear on what brings you joy, or else how could you ever get more of it if you don't even really... I'm not just saying you, all of us, we're, you know...
Yeah, I think that is a problem, because I think so long in my life I've been just doing things because they have to be done.
And you'll never solve it from there, because there'll never be enough time, there'll never be enough resources, there'll never be enough energy, all of that, right, to do what you want to do. So if you're already the infinite one that's abundant, regardless of what's happening in your bank account and in your time and your schedule, right now you can orient yourself in that third place, can't you, and say, okay, let's see, you know, without changing anything in my experience right now, let me just think about it from here and see what difference it makes.
Okay.
Everybody thinks, right, that teachers are teaching to help beings wake up or to save the planet or something. And we're all just doing it because we love it. You know? Big secret out there, right? Shouldn't have let that one out, but can you get a sense of it? There's no other reason, really.
Yeah, anything. I think I've just got a bit of fear because I've been doing this for so long, I don't really know anymore. I can go back to when I was a child and think about what I used to enjoy.
Just start to pay attention to your experience and even asking what brings me joy. You'll begin to be shown, you know, and it'll be just as easy as that. Just paying attention to that question. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Lovely. And we're right on time. That's like the first time I've ever finished an event on time ever, I think. It's a record. So wonderful. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining me today. Namaste.
Namaste, Helen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very welcome.
Namaste. Jai Guru. Yeah. Jai Guru.